is Sunday, June 24th, 2007. I am the Uncle.
And I am Charlie. Welcome everybody to another fine UncleCast. I hope that everybody's had an excellent time since we've last spoken to you. How are you doing, Uncle?
I'm doing excellent, Charlie. How are you?
Oh man, you know, things never stop around here, around the preserve. We haven't had a Tremors-a-thon this weekend, but we've been plenty busy. And I know that...
You know, Charlie, it's funny that you mentioned the Tremors-a-thon, because in our last podcast, I told you I was very excited to signing up and joining the new Tremors-a-thon because I had never done it.
Yes.
And I would just like to let everyone, all of our listeners, know that that plan of mine is completely off.
Oh, no.
I am no longer going to attend a Tremors-a-thon.
Oh, Uncle, you're breaking my heart live on the air. What's going on?
And here is why. After the initial Tremors-a-thon, I fired off an email off to your good friend, Chase.
Yeah.
And it was basically, you know, kind of like a jokey email talking about the, you know, the upcoming Tremors-a-thon and my plan to do a Nightmare on Elm Street Tremors-a-thon. Now, Chase failed to even send me a response.
Ooh, which is funny because he's always really pissed off at the inability of everybody up in our social circle here to reply to their emails.
Now, not only did he fail to even respond to my email as if I was some spam email trying to get him to buy natural male enhancement over the over the internet, after the fact, probably 3 to 4 days, he displayed his own plan for the next Tremors-a-thon.
Oh, I see.
It was as if he totally discounted my email and just clicked delete on it without even reading the contents.
Now, Uncle, given the whimsy, the fickleness, the give and take to and fro nature of the internets these days, I would at least have to suggest that you confirm with Chase that he did or did not receive your email and was or was not acting maliciously, that sort of thing.
Now, while of course,
get, you know, tagged as female enhancement, you know.
Now, Charlie, of course, that's the reasonable thing to do would be for me to first ask him before I start talking trash to him. But you know what? That doesn't make for good podcasting.
Well,
but
yeah.
You know what does make for good podcasting? The
What's
Chase.
That? Yeah.
Because of his failure, because he has done the one unforgivable crime, failure. The new Parry Game Preserve Award called the Spores. That's right. Chase gets the Spores Award for failing to even email me back and going off and just doing his own Tremors-a-thon without even responding to my email. I think your idea is lame and I'm going to do the Karate Kid and Warlock. He didn't even have the decency to do that.
You heard it here first.
So I hate to start the show off on such a negative note, but the Chase... He deserved it, and he's getting the Spores Award from the Parry Game Preserve.
All right. Well, I gotta back that up. My partner in crime feels slighted. I feel that you know, the Spores Award is fast and coming. It is already in the mail.
That's right. It is on its way. The package filled with some cantaloupe-looking spores.
Cantaloupe-looking. That's right. It's a very large case. We had to send it UPS.
Yeah, you know, I did, and actually, I had to lie to him and say it wasn't perishable when I sent it over the mail.
Yeah, you sent it media mail, right? There you go.
Yeah, I did. The box was rattling around when I was trying to weigh it on the scale. It was very annoying.
Yeah, this is magazines. It's media mail, it's fine.
Yeah, it's just Legos.
You know, Uncle, I realize that may be a bit of a downer note, but I've got something a little more positive and interesting and uplifting that I could tell you about if you're done... chastising and remanding the Chase into the deepest depths of spore condemnation.
No, I'm finished. I'd like to hear something happy now.
You're all done. Ah, wonderful. Well, as you and anyone who gets anywhere near me is probably tired of hearing by now about Hollywood Video and the wonderful VHS tapes I've been able to acquire from them, I stopped by there last night, quite amusingly, when I was supposed to be out buying beer before all the folks up here were to watch Ghost Rider, I believe.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, which I stopped in at Hollywood Video just for a minute. And let's just say, at the end of the story, I ended up getting back far after Ghost Rider was over, which I hear from you, Uncle, is just as well.
Charlie, you chose wisely.
Yeah, well, you know, life chooses things for me, and this was one of those times. Well, I walk in, and the friendly dude on the counter, who kind of is bemusedly watching me buy these tapes over the weeks, sees me come in, and he kind of, you know, takes me aside, and he's like, "Man, you're small potatoes now, bud. What, you know, what's going on?" And I'm so puzzled. I have no idea. I wasn't expecting this. I just want people to leave me alone. And he says, "Yeah, just 2 days ago, Hollywood Video Corporate decided to sell every VHS tape we have in the store. You can just pull them right off the shelf for $2 a piece." Then
now,
you
know, I'd just like to remind the listeners, this is a major revelation, a huge once-in-a-lifetime event, because previously they would just do it section by section, and they would only take certain tapes. And what Charlie is saying is basically, you have your run of the entire VHS section of the Hollywood Video in the entire store. And this is, did you say it was a hub store?
Yeah, this is one of the, I think what they call it is a library store. They actually do call it a library store, meaning they're supposed to have an exhaustive list of like films that were available and that they just have kept over the years.
And you just had your run of the entire VHS section of the Hollywood Video in Ithaca.
That's right.
And I'd like to paint a little picture. It's Saturday night. I'd like to think that if I called myself on a Saturday night, I would be out enjoying myself, causing some trouble, you know, out at a nightclub or a bar.
Until that last part, nothing you said was different from what I was doing. But yes, please continue.
Right. And it just so happened that it was my friend's birthday, and he's really not much of a type to go out. So I was inside at his house with a couple of my other friends, and we threw the gauntlet down and we broke out Risk, which is
nice.
A classic board game, and it takes forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, I randomly had my cell phone with me, and it was turned on. Which is not
two rare things.
It's a very uncommon confluence of events. And the phone starts ringing, and, you know, I see it's Charlie. I pick up. I'm like, "Hey, what's up, man?" And just the hushed excitement in his voice was, I wish I could save that conversation played for all of our listeners. Uncle, I'm in Hollywood. I can buy any tape in the store, any VHS. Come on, you got to start rattling off a list. So initially, I was a little, overwhelmed. I mean, I was just like, wow, you know, like the whole store is on sale. He's like, "Yeah, come on, you know, I'm going over the horror section. What do I get? You know, there's action, there's family." And it was just, I don't know how much I came through, but I hope I helped you out in your selections.
I think you did admirably, given that you then, you know, because I then confronted you with the same, like, urgency that had been thrust upon me, against my knowledge by the whim of Hollywood Video Corporate, you know, who I wasn't expecting to spend my evening that way, but it certainly was interesting. So, you know, I figured I'd share a little bit of that disorienting effect with you as well. And I think we did very well. I think, you know, getting Bride of the Reanimator, Dead Alive, Shocker. I mean, you came up with some excellent, excellent titles.
And just also, I believe you got some Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah, they had six Mystery Science Theater tapes sitting there. They had some original Transformers and Voltron. They had the entire first season of Twin Peaks, which which our friend Cole has pointed out to me. While it is on DVD, the first season is now out of print on DVD already, and is now $150 for the DVD release.
That is absolutely correct, because the second season of Twin Peaks has just been released on DVD.
Yeah.
I was going to buy it, and then I searched for the first season in Best Buy. Uh-oh, it's out of print. Go over to eBay, and it's selling for $150.
Yeah, exactly. Right on
so
Amazon
it's
sellers.
A huge victory that you now have all the VHS tapes of the first season of Twin Peaks.
I was delighted. I was absolutely delighted. And, you know, I felt that your Pandora's purchase principle really came into effect here as well, which is why that is such an awesome and powerful theory of yours. Because I went in there, I heard this news, and the first thing that comes to mind, two things, really. I say, all right, Monster Squad, like right there, Monster Squad. Got
right
it.
Off the
this
bat,
like,
Monster Squad.
Yeah, it's like finally the day is here when I can walk right to the back of the store and get Monster Squad off the shelf. And then the other thing that occurred to me was I Come in Peace, which we just discussed on the podcast 2 weeks ago.
That's right. That was the last podcast we did, as a matter of fact.
When we said how I Come in Peace, a fine Dolph Lundgren film, is not on DVD. And you know, we confirmed that, and absolutely, it is only available on VHS. And so all of a sudden I realized, well, you know, at least, you know, I and this is why I called you, I just don't have that solid, ridiculous, like, idiot savant knowledge in my head of, like, what tapes are not on DVD yet. However, I at least knew those two titles, so I kind of clung to those, you know? Like, all right, I can do two things right tonight, and it's going to be those two things. And so I start talking to this dude at the counter, and this dude tells me, you know, as usual, the dealers have beaten me to it. And this is why he said I was small potatoes now. Apparently, the day this store started doing the sale, dealers came in and bought tapes in, like, the thousands, literally thousands, which was amazing. Apparently, these guys have been going across the country, store to store, because they'd heard about this deal, whatever, and they have a list of, like, they've actually, you know, got that master list of stuff that is on VHS and commands
and
whatever.
And not on DVD.
Yeah, and that they know they can sell, like, they have an established market, and these guys apparently know they can afford their plane fare, their car rental, and shipping these tapes, and actually make a profit, which is really astonishing. You know, and the guy at Hollywood was saying they had to hire on extra people just to ring up all these tapes because it was such a huge task. And, like, you know, that these guys, you know, which I thought was nice, this part, that these dealer guys, like, took them out to lunch. And, like, one girl I was talking to today said that they went out for drinks after the shift at, like, midnight. So, you know, that's kind of cool. At least
yeah, that's. I mean, I guess that's a pretty nice gesture. I mean, you know, these dealers didn't have to do it, but Charlie, yeah. Let's not forget, they are dealers.
I know, and you know, you'll love this, Uncle. I haven't even told you this part. My guy there was telling me there was some drama because one crew of dealers actually, like, sniped another crew. They showed up a day early before the sale, and they talked the counter staff into letting them pull 1,000 tapes ahead of time and doing a pre-sale. And the reason this was bad is because there was a second organization of dealers who had talked to the manager, and they'd arranged this whole collection of tapes that they were supposed to come pick up on the day the sale started. And so they showed up, and all that stuff was gone. Like, that was a bad
thing. Wow.
Yeah, can you believe that? Like, high stakes, man.
I'm just picturing these two crews, something out of, I don't know, Anchorman, I don't know. You know, one crew of dealers and the other crew of dealers, yeah. And just, you know, like, they both draw weapons, and,
oh,
you know.
In Michael my fondest dreams.
You know, the Beat It song comes on, and they all break out into a synchronized dance in the video store.
Oh, God, that would be the best. I would simply want to either be there myself or to have this dude at the counter, like, excitedly discuss it, which, of course, would be the highlight of his entire employment at Hollywood Video, or really the year or the decade, because that would just be fantastic. Like, so I couldn't believe that not only are these dealers, like, so on the ball that they've been going countrywide, like, scavenging these tapes, but that, like, there are competing groups and the high-stakes action of it all. Now, Uncle, what really speaks volumes about, I guess, lots of things, be it that I'm interested in things other people aren't, or be it that because I'm interested in so many things, it's always nice, because even after thousands of these tapes were pulled, I was able to go in and literally, I believe now, have bought 150 more tapes off of the shelf over the past
Amazing.
2 days.
And I just know from my experience, when I was on the cell phone with you last night, I told you to just get this one VHS tape that I had never, I still haven't seen it to this day, but it's not available on DVD. You know, I remember staring at the box in the Blockbuster video that was nearby my house that unfortunately closed down and being too scared to rent it when I was 9, and I just blurted it out and you ran to the horror section and you got it.
Was that popcorn?
No, popcorn I actually watched. This was Black Roses.
Oh, right. That one looks awesome.
And it just, I'm so glad that you did this. I mean, it's just, I can't wait until the next time I show up to your house and we do a marathon of these different films, which, of course, will not be a Tremors-a-thon.
Right, well, I don't know. We'll see. I might call it what it is, but I understand that you're kind of on the edge. Like, and really, that, I wish I remembered the title. I've got it in a bag over in the museum. It's, the Satan School for Girls or something that I was describing
to
you.
Oh, yes!
Like, you've got to see the cover for this. And when the dude was ringing me up, he looked at that, and he's like, what is this? And I was like, yeah, man, there's, like, no description. Like, he immediately realized something was wrong with this tape. And we're looking at it, and he said, what, like, my favorite quote of the night was what this guy was looking at it and said, I don't know, man, maybe this is the real thing. <You know? laughs> Fantastic.
And- just to let the listeners know, I mean, Charlie, there was a moment when he was literally just reading off the different titles in the horror section. And, you know, I was spurting out, I'll get it or, you know, ignore it. And when he just came to this Satan School for Girls, I asked him, I said, pick up the box and make sure it's not, you know, normal. Meaning, make sure it doesn't look like it was made in the last 10 years.
Right.
Because if it was, you know, it was probably just some stupid movie that, like, someone came up with a pretty cool title for. But yeah, when he described to me, it had some weird picture of some ladies dressed like she was from 1980. I said, you have to buy it.
Like, it looks like a workout video, but with no descriptive text or titling or even a company, like no branding on it, like production company or anything. Just like this bad titling. Like, I'd almost say it looks like porn, but it's not even like as together as most porn covers. Like, it's just, it's really strange. So I really don't know what to expect from it, but I think the counter guy
might totally have been. Charlie, you've totally bought, like, probably one of the rarest VHS tapes ever, in that this is probably an actual snuff film.
It was just hiding on the shelf in Hollywood. They had no idea what they had all these years.
Well, I mean, think about it. It's like you hide something in plain sight.
Oh, so well put. Well, you know, I was looking at eBay just to kind of get, you know, last night, because I bought all these yesterday, and I looked at eBay last night and went back today to try to buy a few more things, and I was just kind of looking at the, you know, I don't know, the completed items and the VHS, just to get an idea of what it is people pay a lot for. And you know me, Uncle, there's not that I'm going to go buy this stuff and turn around and sell it, but the only reason I'm ever interested in the value of something is to decide what is my barrier to entry if I had to buy this on the open market, and therefore how excited should I be to find it for a bargain. Like, that's my whole mindset, which is kind
right.
of twisted.
You're all about finding buried treasure.
Exactly. And so, and amusingly, and I think you'll dig this, on eBay, the stuff that consistently demands the highest prices are wrestling videos, like WWF, WCW, all that stuff from the 80s, of course, and like late 80s and mid 80s. Those consistently demand a really good price. And workout videos, which, I don't know, maybe for the pervy subset or something, but the workout videos, like the classic workout videos.
The workout, like the Kathy Ireland tone your abs.
Yeah, yeah. Those and the wrestling videos were consistently the highest sellers. And, very odd, a Kurt Russell movie, and I haven't done any research in this, so maybe we can put it in the show notes, a Kurt Russell movie that I believe is called Sniper is very, very high, at like $70 or $80 for a VHS tape, so it must be extraordinarily rare. But we need to do some research in that and get back to our listeners on that.
Now, Charlie, when you say Kurt Russell, I would consider myself to be a man very well-versed in the life and career of Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
I love Kurt Russell. He's one of my favorite actors of all time. And even me, who has seen Used Cars and Swing Shift and Overboard, was unfamiliar with this movie. So this really piqued my interest.
Well, and also, Uncle, let me remind you, have you seen any of his early Disney films?
You know, I actually have not gone that far, but, you know, like the computer wore tennis shoes and the...
Because, you know, he was like a Disney kid. Yeah, he had the contract.
No, he was. He started out as a Disney contract kid and somehow magically managed to escape that ghetto and become actually famous.
Thank God for all of us. Exactly.
Right, you know, and to the benefit of the world.
Yes, and the world at large. This is correct. And so really, Uncle, I feel that's that kind of positive news I wanted to share with both you and the listeners. And really, for everybody listening to the UncleCast today, if you have a Hollywood video, if you're into the sort of stuff that we are, and I suspect you are if you're listening to this broadcast, check out your local Hollywood video. It seems like this is going around. You know, if you know that you have a library store in your town, go down, see if hopefully their time has not come yet for this VHS sale. And honestly, if you're on the ball, maybe you can snipe the dealers, because that would be awesome.
Oh, definitely. Whenever any person, any Joe Schmo or regular guy can snipe dealers, I'm all for it, because I goddamn hate dealers.
Like, if somebody can do that, Uncle, because of our information, I'll just be so, so pleased.
Our entire mission, I will be so glad. I will feel like mission accomplished. If one person can screw some of these bastard dealers out of the really rare VHS tapes, then all they're going to do is turn around and put on eBay and make like $800 profit, I will be. Oh, I hope that happens.
You know damn well that these guys aren't going to go home and watch all 1,000 of these tapes with a bowl of popcorn. I mean, come on, you know.
And, yeah, no, in the case of Molson, it's just not going to happen.
Like, you know, I mean, I'm all for people. No, I'm not even going to pretend to defend it. I just, yeah, please, folks, take this information, run with it, and, you know, do the good work.
Do with it what you will.
Right. Now, so Uncle, I thought maybe I'd shift gears back a little towards the game section of our mission here. And a few days ago, maybe a week ago, not very long, you charged me with a sacred duty.
That's very right. I've taken up a new pastime in terms of wasting my time on YouTube. And actually, what you can do is, this is actually great for you, Charlie, because I know you never actually play any video games. You can type in video games into YouTube, and there's just clips of people playing them through to completion.
It's astonishing.
And it's really, it's amazing. You don't even have to play the game. You can just watch it and kind of feel like you beat it. Well, not really, but, you know, it's the next best thing.
Yeah.
It's so much better than reading a stupid ending described online on GameFAQs. You can actually watch it. And one of the games that I did this with was Double Dragon 3, The Rosetta Stones. Now, I don't know how many of our listeners are familiar with the Double Dragon franchise, but the third game I had never actually seen an arcade machine of back when I was a kid, because for whatever reason, it was hard to find. Yeah. I mean, the first Double Dragon arcade machine was an enormous, colossal success. And what Technos did, who, of course, were the people that actually programmed the game, it was distributed in America through a company that no longer exists called TradeWest. Technos basically palette-swapped some enemies, put in one new attack, made one new boss, changed the background stages, and made Double Dragon 2 the Revenge. Whereas instead of being red and blue, your guy was in a white outfit and second player was in a black outfit. So Double Dragon 3 completely got so far away from the gameplay elements that everyone had gotten used to with Double Dragons 1 and 2, and it never really found an audience. And as a result, remains pretty much, I would consider, a forgotten game. Wow. And I was watching through this playthrough of Double Dragon, and I noticed that in the first level, well, pretty much throughout the entire game, it had phenomenal music. And I told Charlie, I was like, Charlie, you have to, I sent you a clip of this game, and I said, the theme of the first level is so cool. I'd love to hear you play that on guitar.
And I just, you know, you said it starts at minute, like, 131. Look, just listen to that, and if you can do a metal cover of that, I would love it. And so, you know, I sat on that charge for a few days, and the backstory to this, Uncle, is that on Friday, Helen and I, we went out and had some drinks, and we went, and they have the new Absinthe is out now, which in theory is kind of like the old Absinthe. I think not entirely, but it's a little closer. So we went out and had some Absinthe, and, you know, it's potent stuff.
Now, how did that taste, Charlie?
It really tastes a lot like Sambuca, actually. It's very, very aromatic and like anise and black licorice. And then, of course, you melt the sugar cube in it, so it has a lot of sweetness to it. It's really too sweet for me in terms of liquor, but it does have a kick. So it's an interesting beverage. I think everybody should at least try it.
Excellent.
And so, really, had a bunch of that stuff, came home, and it was like 2 in the morning, and I decided, all right, it is time for me to bust out YouTube, compose this entire song, and record it right now, which I proceeded to do until 4:30 in the morning on Saturday morning, and I call it Uncle the Absinthe Remix of the Double Dragon 3 theme.
Wow.
Which, at least I like to feel, helps explain why I will say up front, it's really not very good, but but it's recorded. I'm at least moderately proud of a few seconds of it. And listeners at home, you are now going to be subjected to this during our intermission.
You know, Charlie, I just heard that song and I was in my basement and I jumped up in the air and did an amazing spin kick because that's how happy I was to hear it.
Oh, dude, that just warms my heart. That warms my absinthe-laden heart. Fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, what a, that's so great.
I think this, you know, given, you know, it's not very good, like I said, but it certainly was fun to do. So I am excited and interested to kind of continue trying to improve these sort of things, and I'm happy to be, you know, you can collaborate in as much as say, hey, this is great music. You should try to play it. So feel free to give me more suggestions. And I'm going to do another remix of that that's maybe a little less sloppy eventually.
Oh, well, I look forward to getting the cleaner version or
Yeah.
the less absinthe influenced one.
Exactly. Exactly. So, well, I suppose moving on to the real kind of immediate topic, the fast approaching, like a freight train topic, is.
Oh man, it's coming, Charlie.
How many days, Uncle?
We have okay, today is Sunday.
Yeah.
We've both you and I leave for BotCon in Thursday. That is what, less than 5 days?
I think by my clock, 4 days and 25 minutes from now, God willing, and the crick don't rise, we should both be sitting in a movie theater in Providence, Rhode Island, eagerly waiting for the film to start.
That's right, the Michael Bay directed Transformers the movie, which you and I be well, originally it was just me, but then I made you act like a reasonable person and buy a real ticket and buy a ticket to the movie.
And as you say, Uncle, I came very close to bitching out on this because I had decided that, you know, these tickets were too rich for my blood, and I was just going to pay $10 at the door. But you really brought me around at that point, and I'm still amazed that this is true. But you pointed out that if I were to just show up and pay $10 at the door, I basically can then go to the dealer room and spend more money and actually don't see any of the panels or anything else. So, you know, that really made the
That's
argument.
absolutely right.
Yeah. Like, it's like I'm going to have to buy the better ticket eventually, and so I might as well also get the movie ticket that enables me to buy and just, you know, go have some fun.
Right. And you know, and all the different programming that they're offering, the charity screening of the movie early, the Stan Bush concert, the
Oh, that's
various
right.
autograph signings. I mean, you would miss out on all of that fun. And really, I'd like to take another quote from an excellent source, the G.I. Joe live action movie. And it's during a very important sequence wherein Falcon, who's voiced by the wonderful Don Johnson, has been apprehended by Serpentor in the Terrordrome. And he's being accosted while, of course, Sergeant Slaughter, Taurus, Red Dog, and Mercer are setting charges all over the Terrordrome to blow it up. And there becomes a time when one of the renegades says to Sergeant Slaughter, "Should we just leave Falcon in the Terrordrome?" Sergeant Slaughter looks the grunt right in the eye and says, "We all go home or nobody goes home." And that's the way I felt about BotCon and the charity movie screening and, you know, seeing Stan Bush perform.
That
We
is
all go see Stan Bush or nobody goes and see Stan Bush.
really the perfect quote to use right there, Uncle. And you, this will warm your heart to know that as you were finishing that quote, somebody just set off like a massive firework outside my house. So
It's like the very beginning of them. It's like the patriotic fireworks at the
that's right.
Statue of Liberty.
That's right. So I thought that was fitting. So yes, listeners, brave, humble listeners, I have decided to stand up, be a man, and actually properly go to BotCon, which will then be commencing 10:30 p.m. next Thursday night, which is a mere 4 days away, wherein, if everything works out properly, the uncle and I will be able to see this film early and decide exactly how good and or bad, let's hope the former, it actually is.
That's right. And we, of course, faithful listeners, will give you the inside track, the inside scoop, the exclusive preview of what it is like to be at BotCon during our next podcast.
And also, if we are wise, and I assume this hotel room that we have probably has internet, one of us can have a laptop and actually update the preserve as the weekend unfolds.
That you know, that's a great. Do you have a laptop capable of such a feat?
Absolutely.
That would be great to just. And maybe we could do something fun. We could have a running total.
A total
You
of.
know, well, just in terms of money.
Yes,
You
no,
know, you
that's.
could have like you could have the uncle and Charlie, and just you know, like I have $344 for you know my special this special package with the 5 toys and the ticket and admission to BotCon. And each time I spend more money on this god-awful hobby, you know, we could just update as the days go by.
Yeah, that's a fantastic idea, Uncle. I like it a lot. That really is a great
Just to
idea.
give the listeners and the people at home an idea of just what kind of a monetary disaster BotCon really is. And we could also do like food, you know, how much we spent on meals, how much we spent on booze, which of course, if the Thursday night screening does not go well, I
Oh.
see the bar tab raising astronomically as we try and drink our sorrows away.
And something Helen pointed out to me in the car ride home, because everybody, the uncle has this great plan that we're not going to actually get a hotel room Thursday night because there isn't one available. We're just going to stay up drinking. But you know the problem is that this is not Manhattan. This is Providence, Rhode Island, and the bars probably close at 1 in the morning, which unfortunately is just about when the movie's going to end. What
You're
a
absolutely
disaster.
right. This could be a total disaster.
So, like, unless there's a nearby casino, and honestly, if there's a casino in Connecticut nearer than Mohegan Sun, that would be perfect, because, you know, they're not going to kick us out. Well, they might kick us out, but they're not going to close. We could still be
Yeah,
there.
that's true. The casinos never close. They're open 24 hours a day.
Yeah, though I do remember that Mohegan Sun ceased serving us alcohol at some point, which was a travesty. But, and,
That's right, they did.
yeah. But you know, we gotta occupy ourselves from between when the movie ends till the next day, and you know, we'll discuss that a little more in depth offline. But that is an amusing plan that you have, and we'll see
Yeah,
about.
it's going to be ripe. It's going to just present us with so many opportunities for hilarity and ridiculous situations that I think we have to go for it.
And I just wanted you to be aware of the fact that bars may be in short supply.
You know, I think I'm going to go to the liquor store prior to this. So, what is your favorite kind of beverage again?
Well,
Is
now
it beer?
keep in mind also that if bars are in short supply and we haven't a hotel room, we'll largely be either sleeping in or driving around in our vehicles, so that presents a different challenge.
That's very, yeah. Wow. I'm really going to have to rethink this, aren't I? I don't know how wise this plan was.
I just like how well it's going already, and we're still at the safety of our own homes.
Yeah. Wow. You know, I really, you know, that's right. This isn't New York City. It's not like the bars are going to be open until 4 a.m. We're really going to have to rethink this plan.
In fact, like, that's where all the Puritans hang out, man. They've got like blue laws and stuff. I don't even know if they have bars. I assume they do, but I guess we'll find out and we'll tell our listeners.
Wow, we really should have done our homework with this one. This is like lambs to the slaughter, Charlie. We just, you know, we have no idea.
Oh, man. Well, maybe I can bring a AC adapter for my truck cigarette lighter. I'll bring a VCR and I'll bring my newly acquired VHS tape of Billy Dee Williams starring in Agent 00 Soul, and then we can pass the night away.
You know, I think if we pass the night away with Billy Dee and some tasty beverages, it would just be the best of both worlds. Like,
That's
that
right.
sounds like a great night to me.
Like sitting in the pickup truck, that'd just be hilarious.
Right, like we could have it set up in the bed of your pickup truck,
That's
like
right.
these two lawn chairs and this like jerry-rigged 13-inch black and white TV with the VCR from 82, just like, you know, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're watching a Billy Dee movie.
Come on in, it's fine. Well, you know, the
Yeah.
best part is I've got the cap on the truck, so we could almost be like, you know, not too noticed by the police, which would be nice.
Oh, that sounds thrilling. You know what we should really do? All those great G1 Transformers tapes that you have, bring those.
Oh yeah, that sounds great. That's true. Isn't
And we
that
could
kind of
just.
like listening to the album of a band as you're on your way to see the band, like you're not supposed to do it?
Dude, we're going to a Transformers convention. Any pretense of coolness that I once thought of myself is right out the goddamn window. Like, I don't care anymore, you
That's
know?
right. Oh, you know, and this doesn't have any bearing on BotCon, but it is funny. I just wanted to let you know there's apparently a venue called the Magic City Music Hall, which is in Johnson City, New York, which is close to where Helen is having to work these days.
Now, where, you know, strangely enough, I have never heard of the Johnson City, New York,
Go
before in my
figure.
entire life.
Let's just call it Binghamton for the sake of argument.
Okay, Binghamton, I know where that is.
And on Monday, like tomorrow, Ted Nugent is playing there, which I think is pretty funny and awesome, and I would go to a Ted Nugent show if it were more
The
convenient.
Nuge is going to be in attendance.
The Nuge. Now, in July, Gwar is going to be there, which I think is awesome. Yep.
Ooh, Charlie.
And then
Now,
in, yeah.
what is the date of said thing?
Well, I can double check, but everybody can go to the Magic City Music Hall. Maybe I'll put that in the show notes, and We can all see. We can all see together, because I forget what
it is. We can all see together, yeah. And if we have any listeners in the Binghamton area and you would like to also, I don't know, say hi to us at the concert, sure, go
ahead
and do it.
That's right. And then for the more hardcore folks, you know, I'd probably be afraid to actually go down and meet the people in the mosh pit. Certainly there's a Lamb of God show in August, which would be pretty cool, but very hardcore. So this Magic City Music Hall apparently gets, and they have like George Thorogood coming next week too. So it's a fun venue.
Pretty eclectic group of musicians.
And precisely, and I'm not sure exactly what made me think of that, but we were just kind of tangenting ridiculously, and so of course I had to think about the time that you and I and Helen went to actually see GWAR, which was a fantastic event.
That really was. Do you remember the name of the venue we went to?
I wish I did. It was pretty cool up in Rochester.
It really was a great venue. It was two stories. It had a nice bar. It was just a great place.
Yeah, it was. It was just kind of a lot of space, like different places in it to like be and hang out, and it wasn't really cramped, so it was good. It was a good place. But like, and you know, Uncle, we can only hope that where we see the Stan Bush concert is as awesome.
That's very true. But you know what, Charlie? It's Stan Bush. Wherever we are, it's going to be awesome. There's no way it couldn't be awesome. It's Stan Bush. I'm so excited to see Stan Bush.
I share that excitement 100%. Like, he could be playing in a 20-person room where they've crammed in all of BotCon. It'd be pretty awesome. So
it would. And the thing that's really going to be surreal and insane about Stan Bush is that, you know, the previous statement I said with a little bit of irony, the people at BotCon, not so. I mean, there are going to be people there that really are going to be into it, and they're really going to enjoy it. And whenever you're in a situation like that, it just makes the concert, at least for me, that much more awesome.
Like when you went to see Steven Seagal.
Exactly right. Well, no, actually not really, because most of the people there for Steven were totally, you know, goofing on him.
Oh, were they? Oh, that's harsh. I thought he had a couple fans there at least.
No. I remember some college kids, you know, who were probably drunk, were yelling like Steven Seagal is Mark Death and different movie titles.
Like, oh, no.
It certainly made me chuckle and make me feel like, you know, I wasn't alone in this universe. But I kind of felt bad for Steven Seagal.
Yeah, man, that's rough.
it was pretty surreal. The whole experience was just, I don't know. It's one of those things. It's like I think back to it and I was like, that really happened? Did I actually go to B.B. King's in Manhattan and see Steven Seagal?
You
the
did.
The same B.B. King's where I saw Morris Day and the Time, and it was one of the best live concerts I've seen in my life.
There you go.
Like, you know, I had very polarized memories of place.
Yeah, it's funny to see two things like that on the same stage.
Yeah, no, it's quite legendary almost.
Yeah, well said. Well, much as that was legendary, I feel that next weekend and the surrounding days will, for one reason or another, be the same way.
You know, Charlie, I'd like to quote a very near and dear person in my heart, Professor Peter Venkman. And in regards to BotCon, just say, somebody's coming. Somebody's coming. I believe that's from Ghostbusters 2.
In fact, that I believe that's from Ghostbusters 1.
Oh, geez, look at me.
No, you got the quote right. So, in fact, I believe it was when they were in the prison in City Hall. And Venkman burst into song.
Your knowledge of Ghostbusters is encyclopedic, Charlie.
Well, you gotta be good at something, Uncle.
Oh, that's great.
So look, man, I think we've given everybody about as much information as you and I possess. At this point, we just have to leave it in fate's hands and see what happens.
That's right.
All right, everybody. So look, watch the Parry Game Preserve this week, and especially starting on Thursday, to hopefully, if everything works out, see some running updates about the event that will be BotCon 2007, brought to you by myself and the Uncle, as always.
From the Parry Game Preserve, straight into your internet provider.
That's right. All right, Uncle. Well, look, I will see you in a few days, and we'll do this thing up right. It's going to be a blast.
Oh, it's going to be great. Have a good night, Charlie.
All right, you too, Uncle. Later.